message and song. All right, as I mentioned, pastor's away on a trip hunting, and so pray for his safety and those with him. And we're glad to have Howard and Debbie Caldwell back with us. They've been here a number of times. One of the most talented preachers I know that can... We'll get that in a minute. And I'm getting closer to using getting here without that thing one of these days. But anyway, Brother Caldwell, part of Seeing Truth Ministry, he's been in the pastorate for many, many years. He just was at Lighthouse Baptist in Winchester for the last 5 years. And he has the Birds of Prey ministry. Just so many things. They do children's ministries in the VBS, and just a wonderful, we consider him a real friend, and we're glad to have them with us. And so, Lord bless you, Brother Caldwell. There will not be a bell at the end of the hour, so feel free to preach.
I want a cane. Amen. Every time I come here, he's, well, I got a cane. I don't think you got to stop having me. Or get him a motorized walker or something. I like giving him a hard time about it. Bless his heart. He's either looking forward to surgery or just got done with it. I've got a pastor friend up in Wisconsin and his assistant. Not that Alan's accident prone. I'm not implying that. This guy is. He can stumble where there's not a step. And it seems like something's always happening to him. Bless his heart. But my son-in-law is in the same shape right now. He's now the pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church. We transitioned him in, and he had to go. He took all the staff away for a getaway for 2 days, and he blamed it on his daughter. He tripped down the steps, and so he turned his ankles all black and blue. So I don't know if he's preaching sitting down today or if he's preaching. I haven't heard yet, but appreciate you praying for him also. Let's take our Bibles this morning. Go to Proverbs chapter 28. This message will follow on the tale of Sunday school. If you weren't here for Sunday school, then I apologize to you, but I cannot spend the kind of time I'd like to because I sure didn't get through what I wanted to in Sunday school. But it's going to follow along with it. It'll take me a little bit to get myself acclimated to where I want to be. In Sunday school, we talked about a saving faith. Saving faith is that which is more than believing in a set of principles outlined in the Word of God. I want you to know your doctrine. I want you to be principle-based through the Word of God, but saving faith is more than that. Saving faith is not about the principles or the mandates or the doctrine of the Word of God. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. I know a lot of people that can give me chapter and verse, but do they march through life cloaked in the zeal of the Lord? Are they passionate about the things of Christ? Are they in love with the Lord Jesus? Do they get up each morning with a desire to have a renewed mind and clothed, according to 1 Peter 5, clothed in humility? I love your pastor. Love his dad. Love his family. I love the fact that as long as I've known John, that when he gets passionate about something, he's kind of a drop his head in charge. I like that. And I'm glad he's out in Colorado right now trying to replace that little rack he's got in his office. You tell him I said that. I love the way he approaches the service of the Lord, and I love, even when he can be so strong in his passion that humility shows. I can be very abrupt in the pulpit, but I pray that it's always tempered with grace. It's all about our relationship with Jesus, folks. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm talking about personally. I'm not talking about you say, well, I know there was a Jesus, or I believe that Jesus died on the cross. I mean, there was a time and place in your life that you came face to face with him and you realized you had a need for the Savior. And you understood that it's his work, his faith, his grace, his mercy, his power that saves you. That you realize you have a need. And you're willing to surrender yourself to whatever he has for you. And you understand that the only way to have purpose in this life is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sunday school, we talked about faith, trust, confidence in this relationship that you have if you're born again and you're saved. And how that through this trusting and this confidence, you can know joy and purpose in your life. And that your life will be full of works that are honoring to Christ. We visited a church not very far from our home last Sunday. And there's a couple that was actually from the church I pastored for the last 5 years that was out of that church. And they're an older couple. And they were talking to the parents, to the pastor there that I had just really got to know, just meet. And he was talking about how talented my family is. I said my family, I didn't say me. I talk about my family and all the things they do. But understand something, we're not a talented family. We just love the Lord and we work hard. Because if this church is going to grow, it's because of the zeal that shows on you. Passion is something that people get a hold of. I mean, I hate to golf. I mean, I have to be around somebody that really loves to golf and talks about it before they're going to get my attention even to listen to them. I mean, in my mind, there's always something I could be doing other than golfing, like shooting something, catching something, watching my birds fly across the golf course to get the rabbit that just ran across the green. That's my idea of enjoying. So, you know, you're going to have to be pretty passionate about the sport to draw me in. But you want to talk birds, and I can get passionate. Passion is something we transfer. It goes to others. It's more than me explaining the principles. Well, how do you get into falconry? How do you get into birds of prey? Well, listen, I can give you the principles behind it. I can discourage you in the philosophy of trying to get into it because it's more of a lifestyle than a hobby. But the truth of it is, if you listen to my son for 15 minutes talk about it, you think, that's cool. I like to do that. He's so passionate about it. At the same time, you're humbled by what you're allowed to do. Serving God is a privilege. You being here today is a privilege. It's a privilege. For me to get up and do what I'm doing, man, it's the cream on the banana cream pie. It's the best part of it. Preaching to people that are like faith, you that are born again, we just rejoice in the Lord. We just have a good time. We're here to worship God. Don't lose sight of that. That we might remain humble before the Lord and charged up. We want to see revival. At Great Hope, we want to see revival take place. I love to watch revival take place. I love to watch God work through a teenager to bring revival into a church. When the senior saints of the church all of a sudden get charged up for Jesus and they get contagious because the Holy Spirit begins to do a work. Proverbs chapter 28, if we go down to the latter part of the chapter, verse 25, the Bible says, he that is of a, what's those two words, folks? Say it real loud with me. Proud heart. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. But he that putteth his trust, his confidence in the Lord shall be made fat. That means, listen, the abundance of God is available to us, to you. That you can be so full of purpose that you never, listen, you never get over getting saved. And you never think about giving up. I'm being made fat by, listen, by putting my trust and confidence in a saving faith that gave me purpose of life. Verse 26 is a negative text, but I want to start there. It says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a what, folks? Fool. A fool is he that does not believe God. You can't trust this. You can't trust this. But you can trust this. This tells me what to do with this and how to control this. If you're going to have revival here, it's through saving faith. And you understanding and knowing how that this heart must be guarded by God through you giving it to Him. And what you do with the renewing of the mind, it has to be reconciled unto God. A mind that belongs to Jesus is a reconciled mind. We're going to preach on that this evening. So it says there, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely shall be what? Delivered. Look at your Bible. Delivered. Isn't that what we were talking about with Peter in Sunday school? Listen, it's saving faith, not a dead faith, not a vain faith, not a demonic faith. Not, listen, it's not you, what you think in your own head. It's what he says in his word that you live by. Because what? Because you know him. I have people tell me stuff. It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. I have people walk up to me, and we were doing the Montgomery County Fair a couple weeks ago with my son. First time I've got to do it in 7 years. And we actually had a lady walk up and tell us that our red-tailed hawk wasn't a red-tailed hawk. Now, I've been working with birds of prey for almost 3 decades. My son knows twice as much as I know. And I'm fairly certain that at least when it comes to birds of prey, that I can sit down with just about any ornithologist, I mean, any bird person, we'll deal with that. We'll go to the Smithsonian. I can sit down and have a good conversation, be able to match wits with just about. Listen, I've been dealing with birds of prey for a long time. And here I've got a woman. First of all, she says, I've got my birds chained. They're not chained, they're leashed. Well, they should be free. Well, those four right there, they would die in the first 2 days because they can't fly. Okay? They want to give birds, and am I getting off on the wrong foot with you? They want to give birds like we do our dogs and cats. They want to give them human personalities. Yeah. That's my baby. Well, it may be your baby, but it's still a dog. Okay? Don't go there, preacher. I know that's a taboo area in our churches. I can go in every church and make somebody mad over a cat or a dog. Real quick. It's amazing how that we want to give personality characteristics that was given to a trichotomy instead of a dichotomy. I was created in the image of God. I am a child of God. People, that very lady said, well, when those birds aren't here, where are they? Jason, in his cynical way, says, they're chained up in my basement. where do they go at night? Motel 6 right down the road. They have air conditioning, but, you know, it's a cheap place to put them. They're a bird. What do they do all day? They eat. They kill things. They propagate. They sleep on a branch. I don't sleep on a branch. I have trouble in a hard bed. I don't sleep on one foot. I sit down when I can. I sit down a lot more than I used to. Okay? A bird never sits down, ever. It's not a person. How I got off on this, I don't know. It's amazing what the heart puts its attention to, isn't it? Isn't it amazing where we allow our hearts to go? The things that we attach ourselves to. I have a holy, loving God that's, listen, before I was, He knew me. He understands me better than me. I get so aggravated and frustrated that I only had one life to live and all the mistakes I made, and I would love to do do-overs. And I would like to think that I would do a better job at it. I would love to go back and look at my wife and say, honey, I wish I'd been kinder at times, more considerate at times. I love going through the day, and I get busy doing something, and she's busy doing something, and I just pause. And she looks at me and goes, what's wrong? Nothing. I'm just looking at you. And she looks at me, and all of a sudden, those eyes aren't drawn down. She gets real kind looking, and next thing you know, it's, you know, time to at least get a kiss. I love doing that. Kind of transparent, aren't you, preacher? You don't hit another half of it. It's kind of the way people at Lighthouse knew me. Why? Because I would love to be able to go back and do that. I have a God is defined. He's defined by His love. And He loves you. And He loves me. Stay in the same book and go back to Proverbs chapter 4. Let's see if I can give you at least a few points in Proverbs chapter 4. I can hear my wife's brain moving. Honey, get on with it. She's saying it. You notice I don't look at her a lot during. She's a distraction to me. If my daughter was here, I'd make him sit over there. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Let's see, 23. Do I want to start? No, let's back up. Verse 21. Let them not depart from thine eyes. In Sunday school this morning, we talked about the flesh and the five senses. One of the senses we deal with, and several of the senses are dealt with in this chapter, but it says thine eyes. So God wants me to depend upon His senses instead of my senses. See, saving faith means that I trust and have confidence in God who can see farther than I see. He knows more than I know, and He knows exactly what my end is. Like He told Paul His, He told John His, He told Peter His. Hey, listen, several times in the Old Testament, He pointed out the end of men. Yeah. Even to the point and place that some asked Him, said, listen, could we just stretch this out a little bit longer, Lord? Lord said, oh, yeah, we can deal with that. God knows my end. Wow. It says here, let them not depart from thine eyes, your senses. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. So, I don't allow these and this. I don't allow the touch, the smell. I don't allow that to rule my life. I allow the senses, the eyes of God, the ears of God. Listen, the Spirit of God is the one that whispers to me how to live life through the Word of God. And that's where I have to put my confidence, because I cannot trust this. It says, for they are life unto those that find them. Now, this is drastic, because the opposite of life is what? Death. So if I'm saved by the saving faith of Jesus Christ, then I'm still by faith kept by God. What did I say in Sunday school? That it was the faith is the key that opens the prison door and then keeps me from the chains of this life for the rest of my life. He does that for you. He wants to do that for you. But you have to allow him to do so. He says there in verse 22, for they are life unto those that find them. What's them? Well, the senses of God. Where God sees and how God sees. Perspective. Isn't perspective important? We're going to talk about perspective this evening. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. What's that mean? Health to their flesh means that, you know, these are God's vitamins that keep us healthy in our body. No, it means that this then becomes the tool or instrument to be used of God. It's not selfish. It's not self-centered. And you say, well, I don't know that I want that. That's the problem why people don't get saved. They understand that when they get saved, they have an understanding that they need God, but they're not willing to turn loose of their life. They don't willing to surrender their life to God. They don't have confidence. They don't trust him yet. Listen, I believe with all my heart a person gets saved when they're at the end of themselves and when they realize that what they've done doesn't work and they need God. You don't get saved till you need God. It's not a work that takes place here. It's a work that takes place here because this realizes it can't do it. I'm trying to be simple here this morning. I'm accountable for this day. If you're here and you're not saved today, we want you born again. We want you saved. We want you to depend upon God. He says there in verse 22, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Now look at verse 23. Keep thine heart with all diligence. The word keep means to guard. The title of the message today, listen, a revived heart is a heart that's guarded. It's a guarded heart. And it says there, it says, keep thine heart, and it says, with all diligence. Diligence, the word diligence simply means that it's the most important thing that you're going to do in this life is to keep your heart. Guard it. This world has set out to do one thing, draw your passions and your desires and the lust that's in you to another thing, any other thing. I love to hunt, but I don't do a lot of it because what I do is more important than that. I don't think, God doesn't have a problem with doing it as long as I don't love it more than him. I like to fish, not as much as hunting, but I like to fish. I told myself June 26th, I said, I'm going to fish a little bit between now and January 1st. I've not even got a pole out. I like to do it. In fact, there's a time I love to do it. But no, listen, once my son asked me about going out and hunting with eagles. Now, listen, to hunt with an eagle, a golden eagle on coyotes or jackrabbits, kind of top of the game in falconry, okay? There's maybe 80 guys that's licensed to do it in America, maybe 7 or 8 that's actually successful at it. And we've been offered an opportunity to hunt with some guys out in Wyoming, and it looks like it's going to fall through, but now they're wanting us to go to the meet where all of them are together in California. And Jay said, Dad, I'd really like you to go with me. He says, if I can work it, I'm going to go. He says, I'll get my sponsors. That's where I can go and get my eagle. And he's always said he would get one, and if the Lord allows him, he's going to, and he wants to be able to hunt with a golden eagle. And so his desire is to do that. And, I have one problem with leaving. I don't like leaving my wife now. I just, it tears at me. I just, I'm at that age that I just enjoy being with her, and I miss her more than, I was getting ready to say I used to, but I will get in trouble with that. I can say all this because we really do. We don't fight unless we want to fight anymore. Isn't that fun? We really don't fight. We choose to fight now. Everyone wants to fight. It's just fun to fight. We choose to do that. Well, we We've already pretty much settled everything else. Well, I know I'm never going to change her. If you think you're going to change your wife, you're really mistaken. Okay, people change when they want to change. You want your wife to change, love her. Just love her. Yeah. That's the way God changes me. He loves me. Yeah. You want someone to change, you love them. Side note. Keep thine heart with all diligence. Guard thy heart, for out of it, now listen, are the issues of life. If you don't get anything else, underline this one in your Bible. Put down there, guard your heart. 1 Peter 1:5, the Bible says, who are kept by the power of God through faith. So that's saving faith unto salvation. Not a vain faith, not a dead faith, not a demonic faith. That's a saving faith. Who are kept, guarded by the power of God through faith, saving faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That means until the last time. That means into eternity. I'm going to jump right into something. I'm going to bypass some notes here. Folks, without guarding our hearts, and this is a word that we don't use a lot, but there's no nobility in life. If I had a point that I was going to make a point, that when I got saved, I moved into a position of royal priesthood. That's what the Bible tells me. I am now a son of God. The expectations for life and the purpose of life have now changed from darkness to light, from death to life. I had no idea what was going to take place when I got saved. I had no idea how the path would be. I'm just telling you that I have had purpose. I cannot have enough time in this life to do everything that I want to do. I go to sleep thinking about it, and I wake up thinking about it. I've never been bored. I've been saved since 1967, January 16th, 1967. And ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters of Christ, I've never been bored. I don't get bored. It's just too great to know Him. I can't imagine not doing something for Jesus. You say, will you ever backslide? Oh, absolutely. I've preached backslidden before. I've pastored in a backslidden condition. Any man that says he hasn't, he's a liar. Yeah. I battle with this flesh just like you do, but without guarding our hearts, there's no nobility in life. Nobility, puts a position of responsibility and accountability on you because you're before others. Our life is about others. And the only way I show my love for the Lord Jesus Christ is by loving other people. That's right. It's caring about others. And if you want revival here at Great Hope, you have to get past you. And that means that, listen, you have to have a saving faith. You have to live by faith, dependent upon the grace of God. And oh my, you have to guard your heart. You have to check out where your passions are. You can't be divided in your love for God. God will not put up with infidelity. Yeah. You cannot be an adulteress in your heart and mind and love the things of this world and love Jesus at the same time. He's a jealous God. And He has a right to be. Because He's the one that planned this. He's the one that designed this. He's the one that made it happen. The Holy Spirit indwells us today that we might be successful with the power of God in our lives, with an understanding of eternity, that we are a peculiar people. When He tells me I'm of a royal priesthood, He says, we are a peculiar people. Let me throw something out with you real quick. Under nobility, how do we worship God? Just think with me for a minute. How do you worship God? We have a tendency to work from the outside in. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, we have a tendency to do God the same. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. We have a tendency to do God the same way we do our dogs and cats. We try to humanize him. It's what we do. John chapter 4, verse 24, the Bible says, God is a what?
Spirit.
God is a spirit. You understand something, that the only thing perfect in you is God? Yeah. I am body, soul, spirit. We tend to work from body out, in. Most of us, we deal with our own senses, so we just go from body on out, and we exclude. You cannot have revival with the body. Okay, you cannot have revival with the soul. That's what we're trying to get you in condition for. We want you to have a saving faith, that your dependence upon God, you trust God, your confidence in God, because of your relationship with God, not just because God said it, but because you're glad he said it, because you love him and you know he's guiding you. And so you turn that heart over to him and you let him guard it, and we'll deal with the mind this evening. He says that God is a spirit. If I take Howard, okay, this what you see, this is not Howard. Okay, Howard Caldwell is inside here. That's my will, my emotions. We give excuses to ourselves all the time. I'm kind to my wife when I want to be kind to my wife. I get frustrated or aggravated. I get mad. It's because I choose to get mad. Can't blame it on your emotions. You say, you know, I mean, I had 5 children, and one of my children, my middle girl, and I don't, she kind of follows us around. She a lot of times will listen. Their services are early in the morning, and my Rachel, she would walk in the door, and Rachel collapsed on everything. Rachel's almost 6 foot tall, and when she walked in the door, she would kick her shoes off. Her book bag would seem like it flew. It would shake the house when it hit the ground, and she'd go in the living room, and she never sat down on a couch. She collapsed. It's like her bones all disappeared, her body, she just fell. She was always that way. I would come in, and if I came in and I couldn't open the door for the 12 pairs of shoes inside the door, her book bag, her coat, you could follow her by her clothes through the house. And I would get frustrated, and I would get mad, and I would literally gather her stuff up and take it outside and throw it out in the yard. Book bag, notes, everything. You know, I would, about the third time, was I accomplishing anything? No, not a thing. I was working from the body out. I was dealing with my own senses, my own frustration. I wasn't teaching her anything, and I was developing bad habits in my own life. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you that God is a spirit, and the only thing perfect to me is the Spirit of God, so that's where I've got to go. God is a spirit, and we worship him in spirit and truth. Spirit and truth means my spirit and his truth in me. That's the only thing you got going for you. Only thing you have going for you. If you're going to worship God, if you're going to love God, you're going to love him through your spirit that he gave life to. I was dead in trespasses and sins, and then I realized I needed God. And all of a sudden, he illuminated me in my mind and my heart. And I realized my need for him, and I asked him to come into my heart and save me. Listen, there's too many people, maybe in here this morning, with a vain faith. It's intellectual, but you have no, listen, there's no life in you. You have knowledge, but there's no joy in you. You wonder about others, you think, where's my relationship with God? I want you to know, if he lives in you, you know he's there. Yeah. He's the one that sharpens the conscience to where I know how to do and what to do through the preaching and teaching and reading of God's word. We've got to guard our hearts that we might be noble children of God. We might have a purpose that's divine. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are that chosen generation, that royal priesthood, that holy nation, that peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises. That's all he's done, all he's doing, all he will do. That's what we're here for. That's what revival is all about. Understand something, the heart is the man. Your heart is you. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Your heart is you. It's you. If you're going to be anything for anybody else, from your spouse down the line, if you're going to be anything for Jesus, you have to understand this has to be guarded because this is you. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The heart is the center of our personal being, that will, that emotion, that moral purpose. I think the heart reveals that life is present. I wanted to spend more time with it, and I can't. I'm going to get to Kenesha, but the issues of life, they flow from a central fountain. I take your Bibles, go to John chapter 4. Let me see if I can give context to it. John chapter 4, please take your Bible and turn there. If I don't hear pages turning, I get nervous. John chapter 4. I like it in this gym because you can hear your Bible turning. John chapter 4. Your conduct, your character is all, it all emanates from you, your heart. It's important that you allow God to guard your heart. There in verse 4 of chapter 4, the Bible says, and he must needs go through Samaria, then cometh to a city in Samaria, which is called Sychar, kneel to the parcel of the ground that Jacob gave to his son, and now Joseph's well was there. Jesus therefore been wearied with his journey, set on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritan. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, if you're here and you're not saved today, you're here with an intellectual faith, demonic faith, or dead faith. Let me tell you something, you can have a saving faith today. I mean, that's what he's talking about here. Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. That's the fountain that flows into me and gives me the issues of life, the purpose of life, the nobility of life, being a son and child of God. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? And art thou greater than our father Jacob? Just so you understand the context of it, it's divinity when we don't need the bucket for the well. Everything God does is supernatural. We need a supernatural work taking place in our churches today. We're not going to reach the world with the world. We'll reach it with confidence in God and a relationship with God. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and the cattle? Jesus saith unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him. That's where the issues of life come from the spirit of man that's regenerated and born again and saved and perfect in Jesus Christ. That's where revival comes from, brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen, you've just got to open the door for the Spirit to do His work and guard your heart. Listen, renew your mind, reconcile your mind for you. Increase your faith. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now, Howard's definition, understand, my theology here may not be your theology, and we'll not argue about it. I just like thinking about it this way, okay? I have to see things. I'm a visual person, so I like to see things. Jesus saith unto her, now isn't this an odd thing to say? He's talking about her getting saved, her getting the water of, listen, that's everlasting. And we think to ourselves, well, okay, now he's going to define the fact that she needs him because of her lifestyle, the life that she's come from, the place that she's given her heart to. You think that when he's saying this, but it goes farther than that, I think. Because she's already says, I want the water. Give me the water. She wants to be born again. She wants to be saved. She wants to have nobility. She wants to be a child of God. She believes in what he's saying. He says, Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, now listen, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thine husband. And that sayest thou truly. Huh. Just to kind of kick it off and have fun with it, how many senses do you have? Huh. How many husbands had she had? It says there, five husbands, she said. Hey, listen, when we get saved, we have to come to the point and place that we understand that everything that we are, all of our senses are in a position of depravity. They're of the flesh and of the world, and we can't get partly saved. We either, it's all or nothing. And listen, she now has no husband. She has no husband, but he's there ready to be. Hey, listen, he's the bridegroom. He's ready there to receive. This woman that gets saved, she knows exactly where he's coming from. I think about it, and I look at all them wives, and all them husbands, and I think, yeah, that's where we are. We try everything but Jesus. But finally, the point and place comes where we're willing to put our trust in him. Without God guarding our heart, we're totally ineffective. We have to allow him to put himself in that position. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not unto thy own understanding. We're a traitor to ourselves, but not because we're not willing to give our hearts to God. What a horrible testimony we have. I need to be kept or guarded by Jesus. The less I'm involved with trying to change myself, the better off I am, folks. Let God change you. He'll change your desires. The closer you get to him. I can't trust my heart. I can't trust my conscience. See, what I need is the sovereign conscience of God operating in me. His conscience is perfect. His conscience is very clear and direct. It's not what you think. The older we get, the more we allow sin to creep into our lives, the more dull our conscience becomes. But the conscience of God is immutable and unchangeable. It's perfect. And through the Spirit of God, because I worship him in spirit and truth, then the conscience can become effective, become sharp. I'll depend on his conscience instead of my conscience. Yeah. I move because the Spirit of God moves me. I need to quit. I've got one last verse. Let me read this verse to you. I'm done. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in me than is in the world. He guards my heart. He does a much better job. He can do it 24/7. 1977, I took a group of teenagers to Haiti for the first time. They'd just come through a famine. There'd been a tremendous amount of people die. I didn't know that at the time. It was my first trip to take a group of teenagers somewhere else, and we ended up going to Haiti, and through circumstances, a missionary setting up, an evangelist set up for me. We went to a place north, quite far north of Port-au-Prince, and took us several days to get where we were going. When we got there, we had helped purchase some land to establish a church, and the land that they had purchased from somebody that had promised the land to the local witch doctor, and we'll call him that. And the people in that area that followed him was very upset with us. Well, the evangelist left me with the missionary to go back to Port-au-Prince and bring the rest of our supplies. And when he did, left me no interpreter. I couldn't speak Creole. I had no kids. I was in a place I couldn't have got out of if I wanted to. And the first night, all these people come down and were screaming and yelling. They were drunk. And the guys were sleeping on the ground, and the girls were sleeping in a hut, and they were throwing feces through the windows. It was very, very bad. And I had grown men that had hammers. They were terrified because they didn't know what if we were being attacked by people, if they're going to attack us. And the little preacher showed up about 1 o'clock in the morning, and maybe 4'10". And he walked up, and he smiled up into my face, and he quoted that verse to me in his broken English. And I happened to look, and he'd got all of the church members of the church that was going to be established, and they had surrounded the little place where the guys were, and they surrounded the hut where the girls were. And he kept going like this. He was telling me, just go to bed, go sleep. We'll take care of things. And they still, that group of people, they stayed away. It was almost done when they finally dispersed and left. But we were surrounded by that church members, that little preacher with his little congregation. That's what Jesus does for us. He guards our heart so we can rest and have purpose and nobility and being his son. If you're here today and you got no joy in your life, you got no purpose in your life, and you're here and you may even be a member of this church, let me ask you a question. Is it a saving faith that you have? I'm not trying to get you lost, but if you are lost and you're pricked in your conscience today, if something's not been right, it's never been right. Less than 6 weeks ago, I had one of my Christian school teachers get saved. My granddaughter, who had made a profession of faith much earlier, she got saved just 2 weeks ago. I was preaching in a church in Tennessee, and I had 2 deacons and a Sunday school teacher get saved. You may give, you may be faithful in your giving, you may be obedient and coming to church, but if you're not saved, I want you to know you're going to die and go to hell. And God has a noble position for you. Divine purpose and the love of God. You may be a visitor here today and you say, I don't understand it all. Unless you don't have to understand it all, because I still don't understand it all. Grace of God is an amazing thing. But I realized I needed him. And when I called out to him, I realized that he's the one that could meet the need. He's the one that died. He's the one that was buried. He's the one that came out of the ground. And he's the one that allowed the Spirit of God to come and dwell me. Are you saved today? Let's bow our heads together. Is there anybody here this morning say, preacher, with head bowed, if I die today, I don't have 100% confidence in God because I've never given him my heart. How can he guard that which doesn't belong to him? Is there anybody here that say, preacher, I'm not saved, but I know I need to be saved. I'm not sure, but I want to get things settled. Would you be willing to just raise your hand up just real quick and then back down that we might be able to pray for you? I won't come to you. I won't bother you. I just want to pray for you. Anyone like that at all this morning? Can I ask you another question? What kind of faith do you have? Is it a saving faith or is no works in your life? Is perhaps you're depending on a dead faith. Perhaps it's intellectual faith. It's a vain and demonic faith. There's rebellion in your heart. You want to have revival in this church. Can't be rebellion here. There can't be pride. God made it very clear about the pride. For a Christian to grow, for us to have a revival, we have to be humble before God, asking God for it because God's the one that gives it. Is God guarding your heart this morning? Is there anybody here to say, preacher, me and God have a few issues and I need to settle them. I need to settle them. My faith, if the evidence of that is in my works, then my heart's not right with God. I need to get it right. Preacher, pray for me this morning. How many just raise your hand up and say, preacher, pray that God guard my heart, that I give my heart back to God where it belongs. God bless you. God bless you. Someone else, God bless you and you too. Let's stand to our feet this morning. We're going to have a time of invitation. We won't prolong the thing. If God spoke to your heart, you have the Spirit of God. If you're here to worship God, you're part of this church. You know you're saved. I didn't see anybody raise their hand that wasn't saved. But if you are unsaved, we want you to come today. We'd be glad to take the Word of God and show you how to be saved. But if you are saved, listen, need to get down here. We want revival. I would love to see revival break out in America, but we'll never have revival in America. We need revival in our local churches. In this church, we need revival. It started here. Let God spread it. But it starts with you and your faith and your heart and your mind. Father, bless this invitational time. We give it to you. May you be honored and glorified through it. And as we sing, oh, Father, speak to hearts that they might move, they might come to the altar, they might settle things between you. And we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing.
As head bowed and eyes closed, as piano players, if the Lord spoke into your heart, he's playing Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Do you want the Lord to have his way in your heart and life? Maybe you need to settle something. We invite you to come. The altar's open. Come and pray. We'll give you a moment to come and do that if you need to. Don't delay. If the Lord spoke in your heart, come and make it, get it settled today. Lord's dealing with your heart, come and get it settled. Don't leave here without. If you don't know the Lord is your Savior, we invite you to come. We'll have someone take you aside and show you from the Word of God how that you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you trust the Lord and you be with Him for all eternity. These folks are here. If you need to join them, come ahead. Let's sing that verse together. 485 if you need it. Let's sing that first verse.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will.